His Heart an Open Wound by The Dame Judy Wench, read for you by Dana Scully 1013 and
Jellyfish Fire.
This The Untamed / 末岛祖师 fanwork is rated general audiences and no archive warnings apply. Additional tags include PTSD, memory loss, emotional hurt comfort, hopeful ending, fluff and angst, and Sizui being the best boy.
It's Sijue who brings it to Lanwenji's attention, his words so careful and apologetic that at first Lanwenji wonders what his son could possibly have done to be so apprehensive. He has never been overly harsh. If anything, he is consistently far too indulgent with the boy.
Hongwenjun, Sijue begins haltingly.
Lanwenji has grown fonder than he ought to be of hearing his title in varying tones of relief and excitement and ill-concealed affection. This is something else. It causes a distinct pang in his chest. Yes, he prompts, uncharacteristically impatient.
It's only that earlier, Wei Qianbei approached me on the training grounds and...
He halts again. The pang in Lanwenji's chest grows exponentially now.
I don't believe he knew me.
Knew you? It's an echo, louder than he intends. He's standing, reaching out, before he intends any of that, either. These facts are filed away to be meditated on when he has the opportunity to calm down and explore why he's reacting and not responding with intention. Though, he knows, the answer is always the same, and always simply... weighing. Again, Sijue all but stutters. There's clearly an apology on his lips, but to his credit, he wrestles it away before he continues.
We did not exchange words, but I believe he did not recognize me when he saw me. I don't have any more evidence than that. I felt I should bring this concern to Hongwenjun.
You are right to do so. If you notice anything else amiss, come to me. This feels just enough like assigning their son to spy on his husband that Lanwenji nearly considers dismissing Sijue's concerns entirely, rather than addressing them. But now... now that the possibility that something is truly wrong has made itself known, he recalls Wei Wuxian rising in the night. This alone was nothing extraordinary. Wei Wuxian is restless on the best nights, tormented on the worst. What Lanwenji had brushed off in the haze of sleep now prickles at him like a night sweat, though. Wei Wuxian had placed his hand against his hip absently, reaching for Sui Bian. He'd gone still with what Lanwenji had attributed to a memory, an echo of sadness or regret. Not confusion. Returning to the memory, he sees the quiet tension, the way Wei Wuxian's fingers froze, and he refused to otherwise show his surprise at not finding his long-discarded sword at his side. Wei Wuxian is many things, often all at the very same time, but only on very rare and very concerning occasions can he be described as confused. A tiny fissure of worry opens along Lanwenji's breastbone, but he gives Sijue a calm look and dismisses him.
It makes sense, when Wei Wuxian really thinks about it. In the burial mounds, time wasn't exactly linear. The grievances and griefs of thousands of resentful ghosts span centuries. He doesn't remember the passage of minutes or days or hours, but instead the lightning crack of fear, the numb weight of loss, and the limitless expanse of rage. These are memories that lack tethers to the world he knows. There is only pain in every iteration. When he dreams he has returned to those first nights, days, months, the resentful ghosts, who only wanted to be heard and seen, he knows, tell him, in those forever-spanning moments, what it feels like to hold a dying lover, how it feels to kill and be killed, what it's like to long and hope and finally, in the end, taste nothing but despair. Maybe he isn't dreaming of it, but simply remembering. Or maybe he's still there, always there, where he cannot risk closing his eyes. Not for a moment. Where? A chime sounds. He's in the Jingshi, and the sun is set. A breeze stirs his hair, carrying the scents of pine and water and spring flowers. He is not in the burial mounds. And when Nanwenji tells him that his mind has been drifting in and out of time, he does not feel surprise. Only sadness, like a blanket of snow, cold and distinctly uncomfortable. Here is yet another pain he has caused, and will cause, his husband. There's an ache in him, one so acute and so much more tangible than the ghosts of memories of ghosts, that he fears Nanwenji will see it, and know that for all the star-bright happiness he feels, there will always be a shadow. One that he's willing to stand in, if it means having more than he ever dared to want. One that Nanwenji will not tolerate, only because he loves with the reliable force of the moon in the sky. He can never atone for having caused Nanwenji pain. And he can never allow Nanwenji to know that this fact is a bruise on his heart. He will not cause Nanwenji further pain. This is a headache he smiles through, and blessedly one that does not always make itself known sharply. If he's being honest with himself, he's not sure what he's done to deserve any reprieve. He does not enjoy being honest with himself. In fact, this apparent and inconvenient loss of time is putting him face to face with more than he cares to consider on a beautiful evening. They do not apologize to each other, so he lifts his chin and meets Namunji's careful gaze and says, "I understand. We'll have to find ways to make it easier." He will not acknowledge that this unsettles him deeply. His mind is his strongest weapon. It always has been, and without it, he's not sure what he would ever have to offer. I'll see if there's anything in the library that can explain this. He can fix this. He can keep it from hurting Nanwenji. And if you must, send for a healer. There must be a reason. His husband nods once, eyes warm and mouth hard. Sijui wants, with all his heart, to be a good son and a good disciple, and when the sun is particularly warm and the wind is particularly crisp, the best cultivator. This is pride, he knows, but he also knows the desire, however inappropriate, is within reach if he works hard enough. Sijui finds immense fulfillment in having a task to complete, and even more pride in having Hong Guangchun's trust. So he pays more attention to Wei Wuxian than normal, a behavior that almost instantly attracts Wei Wuxian's attention. This is not beneficial to the mission at hand, but it does please Sijui in more ways than he can express. His cheeks prickle happily when Wei Wuxian approaches him after lessons, perching on a rail like he's part bird or squirrel, like it's impossible for him to maintain a rigid posture. Expecting some familiar teasing, Sijui bites back a smile. Then the unspeakable occurs. Did Hong Guangjun ask you to spy on me? Sijui makes a series of choked sounds that are neither reassuring nor without immense guilt. Well, he begins. I hope you'll be very honest with him. Wei Wuxian is grinning. This is an unexpected turn of events. I know this is only my second week teaching the junior disciples, but I believe it was my best lecture yet. Yes, Sijui stutters. All of Wei Tianpei's lectures are good.
Good?
It's a prompt. Excellent.
Too far.
Enlightening? He's met with a smaller smile, a rare intimate one. The kind that makes Sijui feel like he's standing in freshly turned soil with bare feet, the sun dappling down on him through mossy trees. He returns the smile, his erratic heartbeat returning to some semblance of normalcy. Thank you.
other days, Sichue logs small pieces of evidence, hating each one. The moments when Wei Wuxian trails off mid-thought. The times when his fingers tremble as he reaches for something, when his gaze flickers around warily, taking in the sight of cloud recesses as if he's not seen it in ages. Or worse, ever. Always, always, Wei Wuxian smiles. It becomes easier to speak to Han Guangjun about it. They develop a sort of shorthand, sometimes needing no more than glances to communicate. It's happened again. It's all right. It's happened again. Maybe it's not all right. Why do you have Sichue watching me like a very cute hawk? Wei Wuxian asks. Don't tell me it's about checking the quality of my lessons. You'd have no problem auditing them yourself. Also, they're both in tune with their son enough to know better than to give him too great a sense of his own authority. He's too earnest, too eager and good, too unwilling to complain. The weight of adulthood will come. Eventually, with bloody fingers and terrible choices and a growing number of people to love and protect. They are in bed. Lam Wanzi's heart sinks. He's had practice now, but the words never come any more easily. First, he sits up, untangling himself from Wei Wuxian's arms and hair, which invites a concerned wrinkle in his husband's brow, and something worse. A glimpse of the emptiness Wei Wuxian is not as adept at concealing as he believes himself to be. Wei Wuxian carries within him the promising threads of a golden core, and a fathomless well of pain that no amount of energy will ever replace. It is a pain that Lam Wanzi must live with and, in turn, love. He is learning that patience isn't waiting for something. It's knowing that there will be no end in sight, no day that will go by without some fleeting hint of self-loathing in Wei Wuxian's eyes.
What is it?
Wei Wuxian asks. The hint is not as fleeting this time. Lam Wanzi finds that he must breathe through a seizing of his heart. He reminds himself that this shattering of Wei Wuxian's expression is not an indictment of Lam Wanzi's devotion, that Wei Wuxian isn't afraid of being cast out or cast aside because Lam Wanzi has not demonstrated enough commitment. Instead, Wei Wuxian has not developed enough love for himself to understand that Lam Wanzi would sooner walk into fire than turn him away, than turn away from him.
Now you're really worrying me,
Wei Wuxian admits in the silence. Moonlight falls through the shades in perfect squares. Wishing shamefully for a distraction, Lam Wanzi traces the edge of the light with one steady finger. His husband's body responds, relaxing incrementally at the touch.
I'm still worried, he mumbles.
Lam Wanzi must speak, though he does not stop touching, reaching.
You are forgetting things. You are forgetting, at times, where you are, when you are. It has been harmless. Only Sichue has noticed. This
is the part he loathes desperately. I do not know how to halt it or reverse it. This is the part he loathes even more. Wei Wuxian sits up, no longer worried but concerned. He'd wear the same expression if he came upon Lan Wanzi suffering from a grave wound. Lan Zhan, I've asked Su Jue to be aware in case anything obvious happens. We can address it quickly, without word getting out to the other junior disciples. It is only the junior disciples he's concerned with. They are so openly devoted to Wei Wuxian that they would likely take ill with worry if they believed him to be at risk, or at risk of forgetting them. He's never seen loyalty bordering on infatuation like the current class has for their favorite instructor. I can help. I can make myself notes. You can make me notes. And I'll search the library for a cure. A flirtatious smile lined faintly with panic. We can search the library together. Wei Yong. The smile fades. Wei Wuxian touches Lan Wenzi's hand absently, tracing the curve of a finger, the long bones that lead to his wrist. I've suggested this before. They do not apologize to each other.
Yes.
I will stop forgetting. Wei Wuxian's voice coarsens with determination. It is too much for such a late hour, for bedtime. Sometimes, Lan Wanzi tells him what the healers he's called from other sects in secret have largely agreed upon, that this is the result of the path of demonic cultivation. Too much of Wei Wuxian has been given away. To quell the resentment, to control it, to maintain control of himself. Other times, he tells him of the lone dissenter's conclusion that this is an illness of the mind. Too much of Wei Wuxian has been given away to pain long since slept upon, to hurts that remain under his skin. Neither answer has satisfied Wei Wuxian, as neither is definitive or documented or fixable. So this night, lit by squares of moonlight like pale water, Lan Wanzi says nothing, and instead opens Wei Wuxian's robes with tender reverence and kisses a line from his navel up his chest. You are straying from the topic at hand. Wei Wuxian warns shakily. More effort now, but not enough to be sincere. Lan Zhan, this is important.
Wei Yong is important.
Yes, and... His voice cuts off when Lan Wanzi presses his mouth, his lips and teeth, his tongue, to the sensitive place at Wei Wuxian's throat, and lets his body rest upon him with unmistakable intent. That's unfair.
Should I ask Su Jue to stop watching you?
He would not, if you did, is Wei Wuxian's strained response. He's moving now, a slow squirm up and back and over, restless with want.
Would you want me to, regardless?
There's a long moment before Wei Wuxian answers, and by then he's clinging to Lan Wenzi's back, tugging him as if they could become any closer than they already are, here in the moonlight. No, I would want him to know first, and to tell you, if I behaved erratically.
I am not concerned about your behavior.
Lam Wanzi allows a smile to thread between his words, and he presses it to Wei Wuxian's jaw, hoping he feels it and believes it that way. As long as Wei Wuxian returns to him from the places he goes and the time that goes by, there is nothing he could do that would make Lam Wanzi feel ashamed of him. And they both know there's little Wei Wuxian can do to attract more of a strange and wondrous reputation than he already has. Another private smile, tucked against flushing skin. This too is Wei Yung, an immeasurable expansion within Lam Wanzi, something that, were he to allow it to escape, might cover all the world, blanket the sky. For that is how much he feels, how much this is in the arms of his love. This, too, is patience, knowing that no matter how far Wei Wuxian might become lost in his own mind, his past, or his imagined future, Lam Wanzi can wait for him to return and welcome him, his play-acting smile and the secret one he means, the atonement he seeks and will never find, the unabashed hunger he shows Lam Wanzi with his body and his open wound of a heart.